Technorama episode 560, Mordor Family Vacations. I hit the 15-second one thing, so I'm just going to bring it down. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a letter to look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I meant to hit the 10-second intro, not the 50. This is all done live, and we're only doing it once. There is no editing going on here.
No.
If this is your first time joining us, watching or listening or wherever you are, thank you for joining us. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me as always... Right there, across the virtual table, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hi, folks.
I'm doing great.
From Rock Hill, South Carolina, right?
I'm going to tell you, yes, that's right. Rock Hill, South Carolina, all day long. Football City, USA.
What?
And.
Where did that self-proclaimed title come from?
Self-proclaimed? Go look and see how many NFL players have come from Rock Hill.
And is there a sign as you drive into town that says Football City, USA?
No.
Okay, then it's self-proclaimed. Just the
way it is. Yeah, it's just not self-proclaimed. No. Look, Football City, USA.
He's
going to
Google it. We're not here to talk about sports ball.
Rock Hill, South Carolina. Few places can match South Rock Hill's success.
Okay. All right, you say so.
Hey, I am ecstatic because, and I was talking to you a little bit about it, I've been working on a problem at work.
That, yes. He's been doing his happy dance all weekend.
Well, wait a minute. It's been burning CPU cycles in my head for the last 3 months.
If you've got burning that's been lasting for months, call your doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been burning all right. But I'm telling you, it's been eating up CPU cycles for months. You know, my downtime, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I can't find the answer for it. It's one of those things that's hard to search for. And a coworker who
it's a very specialized solution. It's nobody else is running into this. It's not like a customer would run into this scenario. This is specific to you and your speciality, shall we say.
Well, in all fairness, I got close to the problem. I narrowed it down very close. And then the guy says, just put this setting in your properties file. I'm like,
done.
It was like having a bunch of code and you only have like a period is screwing you up.
The heavens parted, the angels sang. It was a wonderful thing.
I know. I was happy and sad at the same time. I fixed my problem and I was ecstatic and I was sad that it took me so long to get here, but it's all good.
It's done. What do you say we go to the feedback?
Let's do it.
All right. We don't have any letters. Oh, we got no letters. We got no letters from you today. You know, we should find just the music. We could karaoke this thing.
Yeah, bet we could. Oh, boy.
Then we screw up the timing on the ding dong. Yeah. We asked you last week, what brands have you severed ties with and why? And then we shared this out. So in the Technorama thread, we are bringing up Slow Facebook on the Technorama thread.
There you go. Mike Robinson says slice of sci-fi because they stopped the voicemail show.
they eventually stopped the show. Yeah, well, I guess some are still running it. So, yeah, that's changed. So, yeah, the show doesn't run. Your thread has Joel McLaughlin says, YouTube TV, I love the service, but my son likes the Weather Channel. And until he leaves the house, we have to have that.
Hey, just kick him out. Let's accelerate that.
Just go to weather.com. Like
actually, I think Hulu has the Weather Channel.
Okay, I know it's on Apple TV. At least they have weather clips. John Miller Jr. says Sprint. Patrick Norton was right. He warned us back in 2002 when he and Leo Laporte were hosting the Screensavers on Tech TV. Wow, good memory.
Yeah,
I liked that show.
I loved that show back in the day.
Tech TV was the bomb before they went all G4 and gamer on us. Not that I'm not dissing gamers, but that show had a place. And Tech TV, I don't understand why they went away from it. But hey, Leo wouldn't be where he is now if it weren't for that.
And it was right before really internet streaming got big. And so it was a whole channel devoted to tech stuff. It was awesome. I watched almost every one of the Screensavers.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like a daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
And you recorded it to VHS.
I probably did, actually.
Why does that sound so dinosaur all of a sudden?
I know. VHS. Oh.
In my thread, I put down Sirius XM Radio. They were obnoxious for our cancellation process. We had one of those free trials when we got the RAV4 in 2015, late 2014. And I just couldn't say no enough till, you know, to make them stop asking, well, do you want, how about if we give you 12 months at this rate? No, you know, no, thank you. What about you 24 know, months at this rate? No, no, thank you.
As soon as I read your statement about Sirius, I was like, yes, you are exactly right. I'm right behind you because I had the same issue. I got like it was like $10 for 3 months. I went, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I enjoyed it for a little bit, but then they started getting pushy and everything. And I started getting letters that looked plain on the outside, but you open up and says, hey, we got a deal for you for Sirius XM.
It was kind of like cable. I listened to maybe two channels and, you know, and you're only in the car. And what I was really looking for was a way to stream the NFL stuff so I could listen to my favorite radio station. Well, turns out if you go to WTMJ, you can listen to the Green Bay Packers with Larry and Wayne, and it was just as good. So never mind. All right. Jeremy Olke writes, technically Gillette, but I wasn't using their products for years already before that disaster ad. Oh, he's talking about the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Oh, right.
That was that Gillette or was that Nike? That was Nike. What was the Gillette ad disaster? I don't remember that.
Was he talking about the one where they were talking about making it sound like men,
with the boys? Were there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Apple, for the most part, I won't say never, in that I might still recommend them to others. Are the best solution. But for me, they just don't respect their customers the way I think they should. I've made it to 32 years of age. Jeremy's already 32. We've been podcasting for a really long time.
Right.
And never played a Bethesda game and might just keep that trend going. There are a few other game developers I'm pretty good, pretty cool on too, but not full boycott. Don't get me started on beer. Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
There are many fashion brands I avoid because their prices don't reflect their quality. Nike is a prime example. Yeah, fashion, I kind of get too. I mean, there are some people that will go out of their way for, some of these higher end fashion things, but I just don't get it. It seems more status symbol than anything else to me. Marty DeFont writes, Nike! Daniel T. Smith, holy crap, our new car came with a serials trial. They call four times in a week now.
Yeah, how about that, Daniel? Yeah.
You know, as a person who works for a subscription-based company, I get it. You know, you got to have the product, and you got to have the respect, and you got to be customer-focused, and they just don't seem to be it. Brian Kennedy also writes Sprint. Diana Lewis is Sprint, Blockbuster, and Target. John Miller Jr., Sprint. I see a trend here. He says, overpriced garbage service, had to go outside to my mailbox roughly 25 feet from my office to make and receive phone calls. They wouldn't let me use the insurance that I spent years paying for on a smartphone. They got the basis. He goes on for quite a bit more. Switch providers never look back. Jack Mangan, United Airlines. Yes, they're on my list too. I should have added them. United Airlines, Walmart, Chick-fil-A, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, McDonald's. I apparently hold grudges. That was my best Jack Mangan impersonation. Sasha St. John says,
great.
Time Warner Cable, which is now Spectrum. Oh, we left them when we left Wisconsin. Horrible customer service and exit. They're the ones who sent me the 2-cent bill after I physically walked into the office and paid in full my remaining bill. How do you come up with 2 cents? Anyway,
hey, it's not even worth the paper it was printed on.
No, it wasn't. Well, a computer printed it, so it wasn't worth the postage to send the paper. They said Exxon, Valdez oil spill ruined lives for many Alaskans. I think she was up in Alaska at the time.
Hey, by the way, did you see my comment?
On whose thread?
On mine. Go to mine.
I don't think we got to yours yet.
Oh, it's at the top.
Your thread was... Mine is verbatim floppy disk. I lost a game I wrote once, and I swore I wouldn't use them anymore. Didn't we talk about that in the loyalty one? You just deposed my loyalty from our Patreon show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked verbatim.
They were all right, but no, I was just kind of picking on it. I mean,
I thought we'd get more responses from product bashing than that.
Yes. All right, we got more from who you're loyal to. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That means our people are mostly positive.
Yeah.
They're not willing to go on rent. I like hanging around positive people. All right. Thank you very much for those. We will have another question at the end of the show and post that to social networks as well. Okay, just for fun, since it's just the two of us, we don't have any in studio guests, as you probably noticed already. We didn't make any either that or Brian's been over there in the corner waiting for me to unmute his mic.
He's been quiet. That's
that is
change.
Not the case. Just for fun, let's roll between the two of us.
Oh, man.
And he doesn't have his dice nearby.
Where'd I put my dice?
How many years, well-oiled machine, how many years we've been doing this?
I keep it in my backpack. They're right here.
Uh-huh. And how often do you use it in your backpack?
Hey, just in case, as I've said
before. We use it once a week here, and he uses it nuns a week in his backpack. So,
I carry it in my backpack in case I have to roll for initiative out in the street.
It's called a backup set. Put one in your backpack like I do with the SD card reader, and then you get one from home.
It's not how many you have. It's how you use it.
Uh-huh. Let's see how you use it. Come on. Roll it out.
Oh, wait, it fell.
Uh-huh.
Look, I am not kidding. I got a 20.
Okay, I got a 12. Then we'll go on in the same order we've been doing for over a decade.
What?
On this day in history for April 3rd, 2019, this is the 93rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 272 days remaining in 2019. It was on this date in 686, here we go, that Maya king Yuknum Yakak-Kak, I think he's Klingon. He assumes the crown of Kalakmul. Either that or he was on Stargate SG-1.
That's right. Also today in 1860, the first successful United States Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California begins.
18 months later, the Pony Express was out of business. April 3rd, 1882, Robert Ford kills the infamous Jesse James. Not the guy who does custom motorcycles.
Yeah, no, not that guy. On April 3rd, 1885, Gottlob Daimler is granted a German patent for his engine design. I started to read the next slide. I'll keep on reading.
That same date in 1933, the first flight over Mount Everest by British Houston Mount Everest Flight Expedition, led by Marquis of Clydesdale, funded by Lucy, Lady Houston.
On April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his "I've been on the mountain." I've been to the mountaintop.
Did he take the flight over Everest? Unfortunately, he was assassinated the next day on April 4th, 1968. It was 46 years ago today that Martin Cooper of Motorola makes his first handheld mobile phone call to Joel S. Engel of Bell Labs. Watson, come here. I need you.
Yeah. Bobby Fischer refuses to play in a chess match against Anatoly Karpov for giving Karpov the title of world champion by default on the stage in 1975.
That'd be rather disappointing if you knew you were the world's best and you got it by default.
I know, right?
Also on April 3rd, 1981, the Osborne 1. I do not have one of those here in the History Lab Museum studio.
We can fix that.
The first successful portable computer is unveiled at the West Coast Computer Fair in San Francisco.
Hey, that would be portable computers.
Yes. I don't know about it. We now call them luggables.
Luggage. Let's see. On that same date in 1996, suspect Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski is captured in his Montana cabin in the United States.
Uncle Ted. What a day. April 3rd, 2000, Microsoft is ruled to have violated the United States antitrust law by keeping, quote, an oppressive thumb, unquote, on its competitors.
On April 3rd, 2007, a French TGV train on the LGV East High Speed Line sets a new official world speed record.
We'll go with that.
It's all those acronyms that get things faster.
On April 3rd, 2010, Apple Inc. released its first generation iPad, a tablet computer. And nobody said it could be done. Happy birthday goes out on this date to German mathematician and astronomer Michael Neander, born on this date in 1529.
And Pierre Bartholomew, French director, French doctor, Bretonneau, or whatever. French doctor who performed his first successful tracheotomy was born on this date in 1778.
Makes you wonder how many unsuccessful tracheotomies happened before that one.
Hey, just think, that was 2 years after
the Declaration of Independence. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably a hole cut in his throat with a quill pen. Yeah. Fetch me that quill. American publisher, co-founder of Time magazine, Henry Luce, was born on this date in 1898.
And American singer and actress Doris Day is 97 today.
She's still around.
She is.
Otherwise, this algorithm would have said would have been, or, oh man. Gus Grissom, American colonel and pilot, was born on the same date in 1926.
Hold on. I accidentally scrolled the screen. Also turning 85 today is English primatologist and author anthropologist Jane Goodall.
Nice work.
Also, I wish I had read her name first. I would have figured out the rest of it. It's enough.
Prima donna, prima... also born on the same date in 1944, American singer Tony Orlando. It's hard to say his name without saying and Don, isn't it?
I know, right? Don's just kind of hanging around. American game show host Ray Combs was born 63 years ago today.
He is no longer with us. He had a really sad story. He used to host Family Feud for a long time. Go read the Wikipedia page on Ray Combs. Just how it sounds. C-O-M-B-S. Because I always thought Richard Dawson was the first host. But no, he is out there, and it was a sad, sad story. Also turning 61 today is American actor, comedian, producer, and television host Alec Baldwin.
And American actor and comedian Eddie Murphy is 58 today.
Oh, man. He's old enough to be one of the older clumps. What?
58? I thought he'd be a little older, but okay.
No, he was only a little older than us. Listener birthday is on this week. Go out to April 4th, Brian K., my blog. April 4th, Joel McLaughlin, a.k.a. Gorkin, Chad Davis, and John Isler. On the 5th, we got a lot on the 5th. Griffin Sylvester, Martine Teismans, that's Yorga's mother. Ringmaster Greg from Dancing with Elephants. On the 6th is Trevor Litecki, future geek. I mean, did he come from the future, or is he planning to be a geek someday? I'm still wondering that. And PC Herring on the 7th. If you want to get your birthday on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name over there. That's the way it was on this day in history for April 3rd, 2019. Have yourself a wonderful day. Here we go. Take us out. Okay.
Hey.
What?
I want to apologize to a listener, and I'm trying to figure out who it was.
We don't apologize on this show.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I want to acknowledge. We did have a couple of emails, and I can't seem to find them. I just remembered it as we were doing
somebody
the birthdays.
Somebody sent you email. Oh, Mike Wills.
Yes. Do you have that with you?
I don't. But
Mike Wills.
He was talking about the wiki that he uses, right?
Let's see.
Actually, yeah, I do. I'm bringing it up. Why does everything go slower when you need to go faster? He was talking about a Patreon idea.
Oh, he's been using DocuWiki. That was it.
Yep.
He's been using DocuWiki. Yep. Okay.
All right. Should we get to the news?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put this in the bad news category.
Bad news, nobody.
That reminds me. I belong to the Futurama fan group club on Facebook. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. And the quote was today, he said, favorite professor quote, go. By the time I got there, it was only like less than an hour. There were something like 300 quotes from Professor Farnsworth. I didn't even bother to check, but mine is still that one from Bad News, Nobody. The super collider super exploded. Now I have to take it back to IKEA and get a wobbly CD rack and some of those rancid meatballs.
Wow.
The girls know that one so well. Every time I play that quote on the show, they finish it. Like, okay, I better learn the rest.
Yeah, you better. That's funny.
When your kids can outquote you on your favorite cartoons, that's not a good day.
No.
All right, first story, wind turbines and solar panels suspected of killing hundreds of cows in France.
Did it fall over?
Well, I'm sure they don't get up at night and go, let's blade these things. In recent years, cattle farmers from France's Brittany region have lost hundreds of cows to deaths that veterinarians simply cannot explain. After running various tests on their land, some now claim that the solar panels and wind turbines in the area are releasing too much electricity into the ground, which is slowly killing their animals. Although mysterious cattle deaths have been reported in various parts of Brittany, the situation is particularly dire in Côte d'Amour, I'm going to go with that.
Côte d'Amour.
Côte d'Amour. Amour. My French is terrible and I admit it. Where several farmers have sustained hundreds of losses in mysterious conditions. According to local farmer Patrick Lanache, his cattle had just started losing weight a few years back and many of them have ultimately died. You know, it'd help if you feed them. The strange thing was that the animals didn't seem to be suffering from any diseases. The veterinarians could explain the causes of their death. After conducting his own investigation, Lenéche concluded that the mysterious death started occurring around the time that a photovoltaic installation appeared in the area. Oh, quote, the cows started losing weight and we've lost 120 of them in the last 5 years. That could get expensive.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially if you're in the cattle business.
Lenéche told Europe 1, it cannot be explained. Not even veterinarians know what to do. After beginning to suspect that the solar panels near his farm may be to blame the mysterious deaths of his cattle, Patrick Lenéche conducted tests on the land and found there were electrical currents over 1 volt, both in the ground and in the water, 3 times the accepted threshold for animals. Quote, there is a direct electrical current going into the earth, the desperate farmer said. Watching all the animals die, it's unbearable. I can get that. Yeah, that. So what do you do? And how does the voltage get in there? Wouldn't it be coming out of solar panels and wind turbines and going into their natural, you know, their wires that were laid down?
There's got to be wires in the ground to get the power.
Right.
So I would assume that.
How is it getting out of the wires? Inductance, maybe?
Maybe somebody needs to do some maintenance because, I mean, I remember as a kid.
It's not like a pipe that leaks water and it just leaks.
Well, I know as a kid, I know it's near water, but we're at a pool and there was like a cover with a box, you know, that had wires in it.
Yes.
And I remember putting my hand near it and I got a shock. Yeah.
Well, that's a ground problem. Maybe there's a ground problem. Yeah, but, maybe there's a grounding problem.
But what if they got a problem here? That's what I'm saying. You know, maybe it's, you never know.
Okay.
I hope that they would do some maintenance and keep up with that kind of stuff. But
if it was only a few years ago, though, how faulty could the installation be if they already have a grounding issue?
Maybe it wasn't installed properly.
All right. I got nothing, but Craig, you got another story. Take this one away. This one makes me kind of wonder.
Tired?
Well, it makes me want to make some money for doing almost nothing.
That's right. So NASA says they will pay you $19,000 to stay in bed for 2 months. How's that sound? I don't know. It sounds a little miserable to me. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if you could do it, Chuck.
No. Having gone through surgery where you have to hold still for 8 hours, not fun.
No. Really. So if your dream job was to become a full-time bed potato, I don't think I've heard that term before. NASA wants to make that a reality, at least for a few months. NASA and the European Space Agency are offering $19,000 to 24 participants, 12 men and 12 women, to stay in bed for at least 2 months.
The sleep mask the lady's wearing is just kind of creepy.
It is creepy. Go look at the picture. One eye's open. Lost my spot. Thanks, Joe. All right. So the object of the study is to research how the body changes in weightlessness. By doing so, scientists hope to create methods that can counteract the impact of weightlessness. But you still are weighted when you're in the bed.
Yes.
I know. Anyway, this would save astronauts from spending so much time in their space station exercising. So. I'm trying to figure out how this works. A few upsides. I was looking to see how they expect it because you know you're laying you still got gravity pushing down on you. So
right, there's a section in here that says this doesn't sound so appetizing. For starters, you must be able to speak German in between 24 to 55. Okay, well that's a fair number of people still. Your job won't be just to lie in bed and binge on Netflix or Amazon Prime as scientists poke and prod you. There's talk of at least one centrifuge, and your body would have to be tilted slightly downward at an angle to pull your bodily fluids into your upper body. There will be, quote, 15 days of familiarization, 60 days of bed rest, and then 14 days of rest and astronaut rehab, where you will be fit for everyday life again. Okay, there are a few upsides.
14 days of rest and rehab. Okay.
Participation in the study was very special and a good experience for me.
Why would you need the 14 days of rest? You were just in the bed for 60 days.
Rehab? I don't know. I'm not all on board. But hey, it's $19,000. There are some people who will do that.
For a couple months, it's tempting.
People are, I got a full-time gig already. Sorry.
As long as you can have a keyboard and sit there.
I didn't say anything about that. Now did it.
Well, wait a minute. You work from home. You could make that your remote office. You could double dip.
Being poked and prodded.
Yeah.
With your
I'm on a call. Can you give me a minute?
Slightly inclined downward.
I'm on a WebEx. Can you give me a minute?
Yeah, everybody turn on your cameras now.
Right.
All right. Our third story is that two new planets were discovered by artificial intelligence. Yes, that's right. Artificial intelligence is definitely everywhere, including space. Yes.
Or did they make it up and just to make us think that artificial intelligence was actually doing something?
I don't know. When we talked to Phil Plait on the Star Trek cruise, it sounded like, you know, that the different ways to detect planetary movement and the star adjustment, you know, the gravitational pull of the planets on the star. It sounded like one of those things that, you know, computers could probably do a really good job of this anyway.
No, I was just thinking the artificial intelligence thought, you know, if I kind of just say I found some, they're going to believe me. And then we just call it a day.
I think you still need to verify that.
And then he gets his funding.
Indeed, it is by using this one that astronomers from the University of Texas Austin, in participation with Google, succeeded in discovering two new planets hidden in the archives of the K2 mission of NASA's Kepler Space Telescope. Kepler's really earning its keep. Once again, the effectiveness of AI has been demonstrated. The universe is being immense. It is not necessarily easy to find any trace of planets in our discovery of space. In an article to be published soon, the Astronomical Journal... astronomers have succeeded in detecting two new planets through the use of an algorithm using deep learning. I want some reverb when I say that.
Deep learning. Sounds like something you do with shampoo. Deep learning.
The latter, designed by Ann Detillo, has thus made it possible to detect signals omitted or missed by traditional methods to detect planets. The data collected during Kepler's extended K2 mission differed considerably from those collected during the initial spacecraft mission, and Kepler constantly oscillated. And it was through the AI that the data could be used. So how about that? The two planets discovered are located in the constellation of Aquarius, baptized K2-293b and K2-294b. How original. They gravitate around a star located respectfully 1300 and 1230 light years from our solar system. These two planets, quote, are typical of the planets found at K2, according to Ann Detillo. They are located very close to their stars, have short orbital periods, and are very hot.
Hey, baby.
Yeah. There are some hot stars on Earth, too. They are also a little larger than Earth. In the future, the algorithm could help to find other planets, again, by searching all of the data of K2 or about 300,000 stars. It could also be used by Kepler's successor, the TESS, launched less than a year ago. Awesome. Let's get those computers working for us.
That's right. Actually, that's a good example, good use of AI. What was the other one I saw? I can't remember if I put it in the show notes or not. They were using AI to identify breast cancer if it was spread in women.
I have a use case for machine learning that I want to put to use now that I wrote an app on ServiceNow to do the On This Day in History part of this show. And I want to feed it the next week's set of records and see what it comes up with based on what we've done for the last 2.5 years. Because it takes about 30,000 records, and I have gone through about 30,000 records already.
You have to seed it with a lot of data.
Yes, and I have a lot of data now. So I'm curious to see what it could learn. Will it automatically tag a high product, a high percentage, a high accuracy on something like astronaut, cosmonaut, physicist, you know, the titles of the people and the events, I think, are going to be even more interesting.
Well, maybe I think I see a new project for you.
I gotta find an instance that I can hook up to our machine learning.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
It certainly is going to be interesting. It's an after, it's like a Q3 or Q4 project. All right.
And a 2021 project.
There's enough stacked up this year already. Let's take a quick break, and we will be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories to remember when, and be sure to give some love to our patrons. So be right back.
Technorama presents Real Geeks of Genius.
Real Geeks of Genius.
We salute you, Mr. Overused Email Sender.
Mr. Overused Email Sender.
You choose to spend 20 minutes writing an email to the person in the cube next to you rather than get up and talk to them for 3 minutes.
It's only 10 steps.
You've got all the short keys memorized, especially reply all.
Love the big file attachments.
You'll pay the extra money for your personal Gmail account just to get the extra storage for all the sent mail.
100 gig a year isn't enough.
Birthday cards and thank you notes look just fine on canned stationery in email. After all, it's the thought that counts.
Antisocial!
You know, the IT department is going to dedicate an exchange server just for you, sooner or later.
Mr. Overused Email Sender!
Sponsored by Technorama, who remind you to geek responsibly at chuckchat.com.
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka. I play Sheriff Jack Carter, and now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Are you ready to make more of those?
Let's do it. Yes, I am.
We need to brainstorm on those.
I think somebody needs to sing a little better.
That
on
is
those.
An opportune rich. Hey, are you making fun of that wonderful singer that we hired?
No, I would never do such a thing.
If you can do better, please.
No, cannot. Actually, my friend Dave did. My friend David, rather. He
was pretty close.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
All right. We have a couple of those. I think we have a total of four, but there is ample opportunity to come up with more.
Yeah.
Mr. Facebook political rant.
Mr. System Administrator. I think that's when we did, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
We could have a Mr. IoT guy.
Gamer.
Mr. Gamer. Well, that could go in a lot of different directions. You could have video gamer. You could have tabletop gamer. All right, let's give... Hacks and Strange Stories first. That'll work. Did you take the lesser or did I? The two planets discovered by artificial intelligence. That was mine. All right, then this one's all yours. I can't make it through this one with a straight face.
I know. This is a strange story. You remember those Garfield phones that were everywhere
in the 80s?
Back in the 80s, you know, where the phone was on his back, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that a bunch of them have been washing up on the beaches in France.
For over 30 years.
Yeah, so for more than 30 years, the bright orange Garfield phones have been washing up on the French coast of to the bemusement of the local beach cleaners, who have finally cracked the mystery behind them. Locals had long suspected a lost shipping container was to blame for the novelty landline phones modeled on the prickly feline cartoon character that had plagued the northern Finisterre beaches for decades. So our association has existed for 18 years, and in that time we have found pieces of Garfield phones almost every time we clean, says Claire Simonian. Oh, well, swimming in. The head of the local beach cleaning group. So let's see. And Brittany, that's another story from Brittany.
They got that earlier. Maybe the Garfield phones are killing the cows.
Yeah, that's it. So, it says, but it wasn't until a local resident revealed that he had discovered the container after a storm in the 1980s that they were finally able to locate it. It's wedged in a partially submerged cave, only accessible at low tide. He told us where it was. It was very, very dangerous. They had an expedition to go track it down. We found this incredible fissure that was 100 feet deep.
Wow.
And at the very bottom of it, there were the remains of the container. Under the boulders of in front of the entrance, we found 23 complete handsets with electronics and wires. They were everywhere. But the mystery, first reported by France Info Public broadcaster, is not fully solved. How can it not be solved? We have no idea what happened at the time. We don't know where it came from and what boat. And we don't know if several containers fell in the water or only one. So the dry-witted Garfield, first dreamed up by illustrator Jim Davis in the 1970s, blah, blah, blah. You know all about Garfield. So the mystery continues.
I honestly, being the capitalist pig I am, I think you should sell these on eBay. They've earned a status of their own.
Sand included.
They're exactly. They got to look worn. some are missing buttons.
John Miller Jr. said Heathcliff was responsible and probably pushed it off the boat.
Heathcliff.
Odie finally got his revenge.
Oh boy.
He's had enough of being Garfield's punching bag.
No kidding.
Oh, speaking of punching bags. It's back to odditycentral.com, one of my favorite sites for stories for Technorama. Wait a minute.
Yes, it is his favorite site because I went and looked. I think the last 10 articles.
It's the first site I go to when I haven't had time to scan all week. I know I can find something good there.
I was like, Audi Central. Okay. Honestly, wait. Yeah. We got to change this up. There's 10 of them here. Okay.
Okay. Fathers sometimes like to say that they can do anything mothers can except give birth and breastfeed. Well, thanks to a new device developed by Japanese company Dentsu, breastfeeding babies may not be a problem for fathers in the near future. Recently unveiled at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, the Father's Nursing Assistant is an intriguing, if somewhat bizarre, gadget that claims to allow fathers to help out the stressful tasks usually reserved for mothers. Data shows that much of the parental stress and difficulties associated with taking care of a baby are related to feeding and sleeping. Don't mess with your microphone.
Sorry, I was trying to fix something. Sorry.
It doesn't sound good on the air.
What?
Yeah, that. Responsibilities in which fathers' participation tends to be low. In order to get fathers more involved and relieve some of the burden of mothers, Japanese corporation Dentsu has created a wearable milk or formula tank shaped as a pair of female breasts, which allows men to breastfeed children. Quote, breastfeeding is also effective at helping the parent sleep, a benefit that is currently skewed towards women. Dentsu states in a press release, focusing on breastfeeding, we aim to decrease the amount of burden on mothers and increase the amount of time infants sleep by enabling fathers to breastfeed.
You know what? I found using feeding the baby with the bottle was just fine.
Well, some people want to do the breastfeeding thing.
No, I mean, when Harrison was born,
yes,
my wife would stay up and do the midnight feeding. I went to bed really early, and then I got up really early for work, and I would do the feeding then. I fed him all the time. I did not mind using a bottle.
I think we did a combination, but would you have got something like this at the time if it was available?
No.
Even for just running around the house. It might have increased your you know bond what? With your child.
No, I'm bonded pretty well. Actually, you know what this reminds me of? You ever seen the beer belly where you can you put it on and you fill it with beer and you can go into a stadium or something? People think you're just fat, but you actually got a hose Keck a Camelback.
What do you do if you already have man boobs?
I don't know. Well, I've had them. I don't have them now.
Didn't work. I mean, this would only work for slim men.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. If the mother is pumping to get the breast milk out already,
yes,
four times that she can't feed, just use the bottle. I don't see the problem with it. I hold the baby close to me. I put the bottle. What's the difference?
But there's benefits to breastfeeding.
I know that. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying when the mother maybe is sleeping and can't breastfeed, there's nothing wrong with holding the baby with you and the bottle. What's the difference between that and what he's doing?
I know. Exactly. You could have breast milk in there. You could have formula. I don't know that we need beer. Dude, someone's going to fill this thing with beer and then someone's going to come up and nurse on this guy.
So I'm just saying, I don't see the real necessity. I get the idea. Maybe you want the baby to feel bonded, but that's not the way. No, I'm just holding the bottle.
I know. It can't be a comfort thing because the baby's still in your arms. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, let's give a shout out to the chat room since we're here. John Miller Jr., we mentioned Doug Schultze. Craig is hanging around. Michael King was in here. Joel Harper. Melissa A. Bartell. I thought she was on a vacation.
She was. She's back.
She's back? Okay.
Do not follow her Facebook feed.
Everett Thompson. I did follow her Facebook feed, but I've been busy the last couple of days. I haven't had a chance to catch up with everybody is and what everybody's doing.
Yeah, she went to Spain and she came back.
And I thought Stacy was on a cruise. And then I saw a picture of her from posting from the UK.
Yeah, she went on a cruise.
Did she go on a cruise to the UK?
I think they stopped there.
That's an odd place for a cruise.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the details, but yeah.
All right.
I was kidding with her about she was going with like her mom and her grandmother or something. I was like, they're going on a Golden Girls cruise.
Looks like they had a good time. It'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had a chance to talk to you guys this week, but I'm going to be on a flight to Toronto on Tuesday.
That sounds like a good time.
This time of year, I'm sure it'll be a jolly one. What do you see in the chat room?
Pretty much all the same name. Oh, Tim Cooper, one of our fellow scout leaders in our troop. And I see Melissa, Doug. So that's about it.
Mike Robinson. We do this show Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. Join us on Facebook. Subscribe to the Technorama page, and you will get notification when we go live. Or we're going to share it out and force it in your face because you follow us.
That's right.
If not, you can catch it on a podcast a couple days later. We post it Tuesday night-ish, which is like Monday morning in the Eastern Hemisphere. How about that for you?
Yeah, that'll work.
And it's also available on YouTube. You can go over and find Technorama podcast there. Let us get on with the... Oh, we haven't done a Remember When in a long time. It feels like a long time anyway.
I know. Just remember to talk over the music so we don't...
So the Remember When comes up with... Oh, fossils. Fossils, fossils, fossils from ABC News. Go ahead.
Oh, good news, everybody.
Speaking of fossils.
Yeah.
I like how the girl's wearing a Jurassic Park shirt.
I know, right?
Oh, how cliche.
So this discovery of a fossilized fish may shed light on the day an asteroid hit Earth, killing the dinosaurs.
It was a Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday. Yeah, that's why the Jurassic Park shirt comes in. Anyway, so the discovery of the fossilized fish may offer a glimpse into the day an asteroid hit the Earth and wiped out dinosaurs off the planet 66 million years ago today. Now, of course, this is in their Remember When segment, but nobody's going to remember this, per se.
I remember we were just watching an episode of Elementary where they were talking about fossils that survived. It is bizarre that this came up this week.
Yeah, so the exquisitely preserved fossils, some of which are fish with hot glass in their gills, were found in North Dakota's Hell Creek Formation and are thought to have formed after an asteroid slammed into Mexico, causing flaming debris to rain onto the ground, according to a press release from the University of Kansas. The fossils offer the first ever detailed snapshot of the terrible moments right after the
Chicxulub.
Chicxulub. It sounds like a place you go to get your oil changed.
Where you go to
get to the clad women.
No, it's Chicxulub. They're also.
It's like the Hooters of oil changes.
You might have something there. Chicxulub.
Hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to get that domain name. The most cataclysmic event known to have befallen life on Earth. So the impact wiped out 75% of the animals on the planet species living on Earth at the time, including dinosaurs. The fossilized creatures
and
lived
unicorns.
In the vicinity. Yeah, and unicorns. That's why we don't see really any today. The fossilized creatures lived in the vicinity of the deep chiseled river. According to the release, a rushing surge of water in the minutes after the impact likely created a tangled mess of freshwater fish, terrestrial vertebrates, trees, branches, logs, marine
ammonites.
Ammonites, and other marine creatures, which are all preserved in a layer rock formation discovered by Robert De Palma, at a University of Kansas doctoral student in genealogy.
And if you want to watch an interesting pan out, like a zoom out, watch the video.
Not like panning for gold.
No, go to our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama, episode 560, and look for this one about the dinosaur, the fossilized fish, in our Remember When segment. There is a video in here. Stunning discovery offers a glimpse of blah, blah, blah. It looks like he's just sort of on this hillside, scraping away at the hillside, looking for fossils. And then they pan out, and he is quite literally clinging by the side of his shoe to this hillside. One slip, and he's a goner. It really is a bit frightening where he's standing.
Yeah, I see that now. Actually, I didn't look at that video earlier. Wow. So. Whoa.
Yeah, it keeps going. Pretty soon you feel like you're watching Google Maps. Can it pan out any further or zoom out?
If this video is any longer, you start seeing the Earth.
Right, the curvature of the Earth.
That's pretty cool, though. Can you just imagine being a happy little fish, all of a sudden your world gets turned upside down, literally?
Well, the fact that it had hot glass in its gills, that's fascinating.
Well, imagine it's because of the heat hitting the sand or whatever kind of materials.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was part of that day or series of days. It must have been
I didn't expect my day to go like this. Wow.
I'm just a fish in a creek and
And now I got hot glass in my gills.
And there's trees in my way.
That's the way I felt last Monday. Got hot glass in my gills.
New t-shirt idea.
Yeah. People will be like, what?
Thank you to our Patreons. This show is brought to you by you. Thank you very much for all the support you provide. We did some cost analysis and we're actually in the black a little bit each month because every month you help support this show with your donations. For as little as $1 a show, you help us produce and host and everything else that goes with this. Thank you, Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Mega Podtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
That Noble John?
Our Noble John. Okay. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, John Miller Jr., Amber Elstrad, Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen. Look, it's so long, we got past that part of the song now. Denise Inglis. And Stephen Weshy.
Hey, wait. There's a problem.
We have three open spaces on this row again. We have a table that's four columns wide, and there are three empty columns. And that bothers Craig.
When I cut and paste this into my show notes for everybody to see, it doesn't do the table right, and I got these three empty columns.
We could go to three columns, and then we'd have seven rows, because it's 21 people right now. But I like just bugging them.
No, let's just get three more people and we'll just square it out.
And then we need somebody to come along and upset the apple cart again. So four people. That's what we want. Four more people. Or, as I said, as a dollar a show. And we try to, get you something special at least once a year. We did postcards this year from our Star Trek cruise.
That's right.
I think that'd be a fun tradition because we're probably not going to stop in the same places next year.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be together. Hey, and Melissa Bartel will be on the cruise as well.
That's right. She can sign our postcards.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Clinton didn't want to sign ours last year.
Yeah. No. Stupid Clinton.
All right, go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast if you want to be part of this fun. Get your name enshrined on every episode, because once it's on the internet, it's there forever, just like those pictures you had in high school. And we look forward to having you part of that family. Let's fade that out. I think at one time we actually went the entire song. So that brings us to, unfortunately, sadly, the end of the show. We're at about 50 minutes. Our question this week is, what movie / book / TV show can you not get enough of? That's an intriguing question, because sooner or later, after I've seen a movie, TV show, or something 100 million times, although there are rare exceptions. Okay, so that's probably what you're looking for, is one of those rare exceptions that if somebody says, hey, do you want to watch this tonight? Or something like that, you go, oh, heck yeah.
I can tell you right off the top of my head, I got one.
Don't say it. We'll save it for next week. Okay. Keep your
okay.
Right, I got mine too. And just to make sure my Swiss cheese brain doesn't forget, I'm writing it down. Okay. With a pen that works.
Oh, I don't need to write it down because I can't get enough of it. It's on top of my head. And if you know me at all, you probably already know what it is.
So my friends could probably tell me mine as well. Although I do tend to
Green Packer football.
Throw in I do tend to throw in a lot of pop culture references when I do my presentation.
Hey, I'm obviously not a football guy. Green Packer.
Someone's having a good time here. I'm glad you are.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I will.
Anything about the 60-yard line? That's a fun diversion, but you know, I don't think I would watch that every day for the next 30 years. All right. That's the end of the show. Okay. We're going to bring in the ending. There it is. We appreciate your support. And like I said, thank you very much for watching and listening and hanging out with us. We have fun. We just thought we'd record it so you can have fun too. Appreciate it. Go to our Facebook page, Technorama Podcast. Go to our website, chuckchat.com/technorama. Whew, had to think there for a second. My brain already skipped ahead of the next line, listener line, which is gathering dust and cobwebs and probably washing up on a beach in France somewhere. 707-530-2428.
It's wired up to a Garfield phone.
I think that's the last person that called us was on one of those Garfield phones. 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a voicemail. Surprise us. In fact, tell a friend about Technorama and give us a binary high five.
101, everybody. See you next time.